You're listening to Brain Talk from the Johns Hopkins Brain Science Institute.
Maybe 200 years from now, it will be commonplace for people that are trying to brainstorm on a topic or solve a problem that's very vexing to consider taking a creativity pill that will help them figure out something in a new way or give them more insights than they had before.
Charles Lim is a hearing specialist and ear surgeon at Johns Hopkins University. Today on Brain Talk, the neuroscience of creativity and music perception. Dr. Lim explains that music starts as acoustical vibrations of energy. These vibrations enter the ear canal and vibrate the eardrum and the fluids in the inner ear. Then these vibrations are converted into electrical signals.
From there, it travels up into our brainstem and then up into our auditory cortex and beyond, where we start to develop a percept, a concept of music, so that in the end, this energy is sort of brought to life inside our brains. I mean, it's an amazing perceptual process that we can grasp this thing that we can't see in a way that is so compelling to us. I mean, take a symphony. It has a life to it. It has a certain girth and presence and an impact and power in our brains when we hear it. That's all initiated in the brain. It's a percept that we have.
Scientists like Dr. Lim are using functional MRI machines to measure exactly what kind of brain activity happens when we do anything creative, like write a poem, draw a picture, or listen to a piece of music.
And we're finding that creativity seems to be a product of the whole brain, meaning that every part of the brain seems to be engaged in some way or another. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. When you do something creative, it's a very, very neurologically intensive, demanding process. That says something to me about the fact that we shouldn't ignore that. I mean, we as a society should not ignore that creative tasks stimulate the brain or require a type of brain activity that's different than non-creative tasks.
Dr. Lim created a special keyboard that could be played in the brain scanning machine. Musicians were asked to perform a bit of jazz improvisation while the machine measured their brain activity.
And what we found was that when musicians improvised, their prefrontal cortex, a broad portion of it that's involved in conscious self-monitoring, shut down. In turn, a very smaller area called the medial prefrontal cortex that's involved with autobiographical narrative and self-reflection, maybe self-expression, if you will, turned on. And that's a very simplistic way of describing that very complex changes are happening in our brain that provide a context for how we generate ideas. This was sort of a self-reflective, yet not consciously filtered or overly monitored process that was giving rise to creative ideas.
Having a biological understanding of creativity, says Dr. Lim, means we might be able to understand things like writer's block, or even why one person is more creative than another. He also thinks we might eventually be able to alter or change our creative circuitry. In the short term, Dr. Lim is hoping the studies will show the importance of teaching music and art in schools, along with math and science.
Hopefully, we'll have a more honest and accurate view of what's going on in the brain, which is that the brain does amazing things in a wide variety of settings, all of which are important for our development, and it's very short-sighted for us to try to exclude certain types of development.
Dr. Lim wants the scientific community to realize that music is a great way to study the brain.
As far as a sort of scientific tool with which we want to set up various questions and experiments, there might be nothing better than music to study how the brain processes complex things.
To learn more about the neuroscience of creativity and music perception, log on to BrainScienceInstitute.org. I'm Dale Connolly, and this is Brain Talk from Johns Hopkins University.